Psalm 61, but we're going to wait on that. We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 tonight. And I'd like to continue to fix our minds upon what we discussed Sunday morning, and that is the fact that we must constantly sharpen our message. And we spoke Sunday morning about the title of our message was Homophobic or Holy. Now, we're not necessarily talking about that subject matter tonight, but we are talking about, speaking about the matter of sharpening our message. We must constantly be on message, and the message that we ought to be on is the message of the Word of God. Not what society says and not what culture says, but what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And just like many say that America is the last bastion of freedom, so the church, is the last line of defense when it comes to the truth. And here's the question. If the church turns from the truth, where are people to turn? This is where they ought to be able to come to find the truth. It is the church house. And this is Paul's concern in our passage in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 tonight. He is concerned with the fact that heresy and false doctrine were gaining a foothold in the church at Ephesus. And he is exhorting Timothy to stand on and for sound doctrine. By the way, it's always about doctrine. It's always about doctrine. It's always about what we believe. And that's why it is vital what we believe. It matters what we believe. And what we believe ought to be filtered and based and grounded in the Word of God. Let's read there, if we could, 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 down through verse 11 tonight. By the way, let me say this before we read. The word sound, and you're going to see that in our passage tonight. The word sound means to be complete. It means to be healthy. It means to be whole. And so when the Bible says that our doctrine ought to be sound, it ought to be healthy, it ought to be complete, it ought to be whole, based on the Word of God. As we said Sunday morning, we just need to keep saying what God has already said. Not what society says, not what the culture says, but what God has said. And we need to keep saying that. And by the way, in our day, it's different today than it was 20 years ago in our nation. 20 years ago in our nation, when you said what God said, for the most part, there was no pushback per se on you. That's not true today. In our nation today, when you say what God says, it's a different story. And we must, especially as a church, especially as homes, hey, moms and dads, you just need to keep saying what God has said. And your kids may say, well, that's not what my friends, that's not what their moms and dads say. That's not what their moms and dads allow them to do. We just need to keep saying what God says and what He has already said. So look here, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, verses 1 and 2 aren't necessarily our text and what we're looking at, but boy, what a verse in verse 1. He says, which is our hope. Verse 2, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Again, just like with many of Paul's epistles and just like with many of the infant churches in the first century, there was false doctrine, there were false teachers who were coming into the church, who were gaining influence in the church. And so Paul writes these letters, he writes these epistles to try to help Paul and to try to help these churches to stay with what they have been taught. He says in verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners and for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, let's understand this right from the get-go tonight. In this passage, he is primarily speaking of sound doctrine when it comes to the gospel. Because, and we'll see that as we go through the passage tonight, there were individuals who had come in, especially the Judaizers, the legalists, who had come in and were teaching that it wasn't just Christ, it wasn't just saved by grace, it wasn't just the blood of Christ, it was also the keeping of the law. And so Paul is trying to encourage Timothy to stay with sound doctrine. So tonight I want to preach us a message entitled, Sharpened in Our Soundness. Sharpened in Our Soundness. Let me read our theme verse again if I could tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Give me a second just to get there. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse number 10. The Bible says, if the iron be blunt, and he do not whet, W-H-E-T, means to sharpen, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, we must constantly be sharpening, be whetting the edge in every area of our lives, but especially when it comes to our message, and especially when it comes to what we're saying about the Bible. Look, it's not just good enough to say, hey, well, we're pretty close to what the Bible says. That's not good enough. We must be exactly with what the Bible says. Well, I'm pretty close and with my family and in my marriage and as a dad and as a mom, we're pretty close to what the Bible says. No. We need to be right with what the Bible says. Not just part way, not just close, not compromising a little, because listen, just as using your sword causes it to get dull and you have to constantly sharpen it, compromising will cause your sword to get dull too. And we must constantly sharpen our message. And tonight I want us to see this truth sharpened in our soundness. Sound doctrine. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help. Hey, pray tonight. We've got a good number of kids and teenagers tonight. And let's pray for them as well tonight as they hear the Word of God. And let's pray and ask God to help us as we look here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Father, we sure do love You tonight. We're thankful for Your goodness. Thank You for giving us the opportunity just to come in the middle of the week and just take a breath. And Father, to fix our thoughts upon that which is most important. Father, I pray tonight that You would help us to put the cares of this world aside for the next few moments. And Father, I pray that we would be attentive to what Your Word has to say. And Father, I pray that You'd help every single one of us tonight, whether as dads, as moms, as husbands, as wives, as Christians. Father, I pray that we would be sharp in our soundness. And Father, I pray that we would be intimate and close with what Your Word says. Father, I pray that we would study it. I pray that we would know it. I pray that we would be able to use it. We would be able to wield it as the sword that it is. And so, Father, help us tonight. Just remind us of a few things and we'll thank You and praise You for it. Be with our children next door, our teenagers. Father, I pray that You'd use the Word of God in their hearts one more time. Father, if there are young people, if there are teenagers, if there are adults in this auditorium tonight that do not know Christ, Father, I pray that tonight would be their spiritual birthday. I pray that tonight would be the night that they come to the knowledge of Christ. And then, Father, for us as believers, just remind us of some things tonight. Sharpen us, if You would, tonight. And so, Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for what you'll do in the next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you two reasons why it's important for us to be sharp in our soundness. We are to be sharp when it comes to sound doctrine. Let me give you two reasons why that's important. Number one tonight, because the church is to be guarded from false teachers. Because the church needs to be guarded from false teachers. And here's the truth tonight. If we don't know what the Bible says, a false teacher can come in and teach whatever they want, and we don't know if it's right or wrong. That's why it's incumbent upon us to know what the Bible says. It's incumbent upon us to know the Scriptures. So look, if someone comes and is speaking something that is different than what the Bible says, boy, it's going to raise the antennas up. It's going to raise the red flag. So number one tonight, we need to be sound in our doctrine because the church needs to be guarded from false teachers. Look again at verses 3 through 7, if you would. And I want to show you three things that the false teachers promoted. First of all, they promoted foolish questions. Verse number 3 says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Verse 4, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions." Now, the idea of the genealogies there refers to the Gnostics and their belief in the graded ranks of angelic beings. And it's also referring to the teaching that Jewish heritage garnered some kind of favor with God. And so they have these false teachers that are coming in, and all they're doing is promoting foolish questions. Not only are they promoting foolish questions, but secondly, they are promoting fruitless quarrels. They are promoting foolish questions. They are promoting fruitless quarrels. They're just arguing. It's like someone coming to you and asking you, "Hey, did Adam have a belly button?" Now we can, y'all looking at me funny. You never had anybody ask you that? Oh, now that's all you're going to think about for the rest of the message. Yeah. Adam was created. Did he have a belly button? I think he did. But I don't know that. Neither do you. And here's the thing. Is that going to get anybody saved? Now, let me back up for a second. My qualification, whether a question is important or not, isn't just, is it going to get somebody saved? That's not the qualification. But my point is simply this. Sometimes we spend hours. Hey, people today spend hours on trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. And never once go tell anybody about Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying it's not fun or it's not interesting to study prophecy in the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. That's not what I'm saying tonight. And I'm not saying that that's not important. But I am saying that many times we spend time in foolish questions that have nothing and render nothing to our spiritual growth. Render nothing to helping someone else grow spiritually. Now, it was a little deeper here with these individuals. They were bringing these foolish questions in. The Bible says in verse 4, "Which minister, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions." Not only foolish questions, but it ministers questions that put doubt in people's minds. And he says, don't take time with that. Beware of the false teachers. Not only do they promote foolish questions, not only do they promote fruitless quarrels, they promoted, and this is probably the most significant one, they promoted fleshly qualifications. They were telling the church at Ephesus, and by the way, it wasn't just the church at Ephesus, it was many of these new churches, when the Judaizers would come in, they would tell the new Christians, "Hey, you better keep the law. You better be circumcised. You better do all of this or you're not really saved and you're not going to keep your salvation." And by the way, let me say this tonight. That is the true definition of a legalist. People throw that term around a lot today, and they use it for people who simply have standards. Here's the truth tonight. Every single one of us have standards. But people throw that word legalist around for maybe someone who has a little bit higher standard than they do. That's the wrong use of that word. A legalist was someone who added works or fleshly qualifications to salvation. If I came in here tonight and preached, yes, you need to be saved, you need to put your faith in Christ, but you need to be baptized because baptism is a part of salvation. You better do good works because good works is a part of salvation. And you need to endure to the end because that's part of salvation. I would be a legalist because I'm adding things to the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what a legalist is. And if anybody ever calls you that, just very graciously explain to them what a legalist is. But that's who had come in. These legalists, verse number 5, he says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." And by the way, they were so confusing in what they were teaching. The Bible says in verse number 7, they didn't even understand what they were teaching. They didn't even understand what they were teaching. And so number 1 tonight, the reason why we need to be sound in our doctrine is because the church needs to be guarded from false teachers. Now, he tells Timothy in verse number 5, he says, "Look, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." Now, he's telling Timothy, look, this is how they're acting. This is how you need to act. Verse number 5. These are the false teachers. These are the ones that are coming in and telling the baby Christians there in Ephesus that they have to keep the law and they have to be circumcised to keep their salvation. But Timothy, the end of the commandment is charity, love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. He said, for the person that is saved, there are two great commandments. Now, by the way, those two great commandments encompass the other 10. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That covers all 10 commandments. Because all 10 commandments are either Godward or manward. And he says, look, the commandment in verse number 5, the end of the commandment is that you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. And that encompasses, that takes care of all of the commandments. See, here's the truth tonight. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary fulfilled the system of the law. He fulfilled it. The Bible says He didn't come to do away with the law. The Bible says He came to fulfill it. And He fulfilled the law on the cross at Calvary. However, the moral standard, the Ten Commandments, is still true for us today. And they're all wrapped up, all 10 of them are wrapped up in the two great commandments of the New Testament. Love your God and love your neighbor. And that takes care of all 10. Because if you love your God, you're not going to have any false gods. You're not going to bow yourself down to any graven images. You're going to keep the Sabbath day. Now, I know we don't recognize the Sabbath, but our Lord's Day, we're going to be in the house of God when we're supposed to. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, we're not going to murder, we're not going to steal, we're not going to kill, we're not going to commit adultery, we're not going to bear false witness, we're not going to covet. They're all wrapped up. Those two wrap up all 10. But the point was, these false teachers were teaching the law as part of salvation. And that is why being sound in our doctrine is so important, because we have to guard against false teachers. By the way, whether it's false teaching about salvation, whether it's false teaching about the home, whether it's false teaching about the polity of the New Testament church, we are absolutely losing our minds on some of the things in the church. And people are beginning to get weak in the knees about things that the Bible speaks to very clearly. Whether it comes to women pastors, whether it comes to sodomy, as we talked about Sunday morning, whether it's the subject of transgenderism, whatever subject we want to speak about, whether it's the subject of alcohol, a lot of people getting weak in the knees on that subject when the Bible speaks very clearly about it. That's why we have to be sound in doctrine. I remember Brother Snow, just a few years ago, when he taught school down in Memphis, and he came one Sunday and he was telling me about a chapel service that they had there in their Christian school. And the administrator of the school preached chapel that morning. And he got up and he made the statement to a bunch of junior highers and high schoolers. And he said, "I can't tell any of you not to drink alcohol." And you can imagine, Brother Jeff came to church that night. That was a Wednesday. He came to church that night. He was furious. But that's what the administrator told this Christian school body during chapel. "I can't tell you not to drink alcohol, because I don't think the Bible says that you shouldn't." Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That's why we must be sharpened constantly in our doctrine, because it matters. You know what that gentleman just did? He just gave all of those teenagers permission to go drink. Now here's the truth. Even if he believed that, Lord help him that he would get up and say that in front of a bunch of teenagers. But why did he say it? Because he wasn't sharpened in his doctrine. And Paul is telling Timothy, "Timothy, you need to be sound." Verse number 3, he says, "that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Timothy, you need to be sound in your doctrine. Timothy, you need to teach these others that are leaders in the churches, you need to teach them to be sound in their doctrine, because it matters. It matters what our children hear. It matters what our young couples hear. It matters what we all hear. Because it makes a difference. And they need to hear what the Bible says, not what the culture says, not what society says. And boy, we are so inundated, and I get it today. We are bombarded daily with so much information and from so many different directions. But everything we hear and everything we see and everything we read and everything we listen to must be filtered through this Bible to determine whether it's true or not. Number one tonight, why is it important that we're sharpened in our soundness? First of all, because the church needs to be guarded from false teachers. Number two, because the church is to be guided with foundational truth. Number one, because the church needs to be guarded from false teachers. But secondly tonight, because the church is to be guided with foundational truth. Notice verse number 8. "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." Now, this isn't the message again tonight, but verses 12 through 17. And Paul continues to speak about the gospel. And he says in verse number 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Not only is it faithful, not only is it trustworthy, but it can be accepted, worthy of all acceptation. What's the saying? What's the truth? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said, Timothy, that's the gospel message. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It's not about keeping the law. It's not about how good I can be. It's about how good God has already been. It's about the fact that He loved us so much, He sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary, to shed His blood, to be buried, and to rise again the third day. Hey, Timothy, that's the message. And by the way, Timothy knew that, but he's telling him, you need to make sure these other leaders are teaching the same thing. He says in verse number 3, that they teach no other doctrine. Number one, why is that important? Because the church is to be guarded from false teachers. But secondly, because the church is to be guided with foundational truth. Let me give you real quickly five things that foundational truth does, that sound doctrine does. Number one, sound doctrine educates. Sound doctrine educates. Verse number 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach. What does sound doctrine do? It educates. It educates. Secondly, what does sound doctrine do? It edifies. Verse number 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Look what he says. So do. Godly edifying, which is in faith. By the way, what does the word edify mean? Huh? It means to build up. It means to improve. It means to instruct morally. Edify. What does sound doctrine do? It educates and it edifies. It builds up. It improves. It instructs individuals. It educates. It edifies. Thirdly, sound doctrine establishes. It edifies. It educates. It establishes. I want you to look at a couple verses, and they're all right here in this, right around 1 Timothy. Would you look at 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, notice this, to establish you. What is he going to establish them with? Sound doctrine. To establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Look at Titus chapter 1. Just a few pages over, a couple of chapters over from 1 Timothy. Titus chapter number 1. Sound doctrine educates, it edifies, it establishes. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. It gives us a foundation. Gives us solid ground on which to stand. Titus 1:9, the Bible says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. By what? By sound doctrine. Holding fast the faithful word. Now, this context, he's talking to the bishop. He's talking to the pastor. The pastor's supposed to be blameless. They're supposed to hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Sound doctrine establishes. By the way, look at chapter 2 of Titus. We're talking about sound doctrine. We get the idea, okay, we're talking about, you know, the doctrine of salvation, and we're talking about, you know, the doctrine of the Holy Ghost, pneumatology, and we're talking about all of these ologies, ecclesiology, eschatology. That's the doctrine. No. Doctrine is just the Bible. Now, we teach some what we call great doctrines, but the doctrine is just what the Bible teaches. Look what he says in Titus 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, somebody tell me, in chapter 2, what's he going to start talking about right now? Huh? Okay, the Bible, but who what is he going to talk about specifically in Titus chapter 2? Sound doctrine. The aged men, the aged women, the young men, and the young women. That's sound doctrine. Well, doctrine is just the doctrine of salvation. It's the doctrine of angels. It's the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It's the doctrine of the Bible. Yes! But sound doctrine is whatever the Bible says. If it's about a man, if it's about a woman, if it's about a husband, about a wife, if it's about aged men teaching young men, if it's about aged women teaching young women, that's sound doctrine. And well, we have strayed from that, haven't we? Look what the Bible says, that the aged women are supposed to teach young women, and this is sound doctrine. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. By the way, you say, Pastor, I never knew that you had to teach someone to love their children. Ask Brother Chris. In some of these homes that we visit with the kids that come to our church, and the parents are begging to get rid of them. My son and I, this has been probably a couple years ago, we were picking up some kids on Wednesday night, and the mom came out of the house with a 1.5-year-old and said, "Will you take her?" I said, "No, we don't take anyone under 5 on the van." That's what this verse is talking about. There are those that need to be taught to love their kids, to love their husbands, the Bible says. Verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good. By the way, what does the world tell us today? The world tells ladies today, if you stay at home, you're nothing. You better get out there and get you a job, because if you're a homemaker, you're absolutely nothing. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the aged women are to teach the young women to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? Why is all of that important? Somebody tell me. It's right there in the verse. Because it's the Word of God. And if those things aren't carried out in our lives, what happens? The Word of God is blasphemed. He says that the Word of God be not blasphemed. This is my point. It's all sound doctrine. Here's my point. We need to know it all, whether it's the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of angels, the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of an aged man teaching a young man. It's all sound doctrine. The doctrine of an aged woman teaching a young woman. It's all sound doctrine. Why? Why is it important? That the Word of God be not blasphemed. Number 3, sound doctrine establishes us. It gives us a solid footing, if you will. Look back at 1 Timothy 1 quickly. We need to go quick. It educates, it edifies, it establishes. Number 4, it exposes. What does sound doctrine expose? It exposes sin. In verses 8 through 10, it exposes the defiant, it exposes the disobedient, it exposes the deviant. He says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. What does the law do? What does sound doctrine do? It exposes. It brings to light our sin. It brings it to light. And we're not going to go through the list again. We've read it a couple of times. But sound doctrine exposes. And then finally, and this is really what the passage is all about, sound doctrine evangelizes. It educates, it edifies, it establishes, it exposes, and it evangelizes. Verse number 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And by the way, that's what he's speaking about pretty much for this most of this passage. And again, we read verse number 15, and he's speaking about, in verse 12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Notice this, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul's telling Timothy, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about the law. It's all about the grace of God. Is the law made of none effect? Do we not use the law anymore? Do we throw it out? No. But that's not how I get saved. I get saved by the grace of God. I get saved by the shed blood of Christ. I get saved when I place my faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ for the salvation of my soul. Why is it important? Why is sound doctrine important? Hey, dads, tonight, why is it important that you know what the Bible says about you being a daddy? Because it's sound doctrine. Mamas, why is it important that you know what the Bible says about being a good mama? Because it's sound doctrine. Hey, husband, why is it important that you know what the Bible says about being a good husband? Because it's sound doctrine. And by the way, here's the truth. That's where most of us live anyway. Most of us aren't going to be asked tomorrow to give a dissertation on the doctrine of angels. But somebody at your work may ask you tomorrow. They may come and say, hey, I'm having a little trouble with my wife. What do you think I ought to do? And all you got to do is pull the Bible out and say, well, this is what the Bible says. Sound doctrine. That's where most of us live. The shoe leather truths that we know that are going to be able to be a help to somebody. Sound doctrine. And we need to be sharpened. You know, you may encounter someone tomorrow at your workplace that is struggling with what we spoke about Sunday morning. They're struggling with sodomy. They're struggling with homosexuality. They're struggling with transgenderism. And you may be the very one who knows what the Bible says, who can open your Bible tomorrow and help them. But if you don't know what the Bible says, and if we don't, if we're listening to culture, and if we're listening to the news media and politicians and what they tell us we ought to believe, you're not going to be able to help them. Because all you're going to do is just regurgitate what they've heard on the news media. Or on the news, you're going to regurgitate what they've heard society say. Instead of being able to come and give them something foundational that's going to help them. Number one, why is it important? Because the church needs to be guarded from false teachers. Why is it important? Because the church is to be guided with foundational truth. Every area of our lives, it's all important. All of it. There are so many, and I'm done. I need to be done. There are so many areas people today, they say, well, that's not important. Oh, dear friend, if the Bible speaks to it, it's important. It's important. That's one of those non-essentials. You know how many Americans felt last year when they were called non-essential workers? I believe that's how God feels sometimes when we say His Word, some of it's non-essential. It's His Word. And if the Bible says that everything that has ever been said from His lips and everything that has ever been done by Him could not be contained, if it was written down, could not be contained in this world. Okay, if that's true, and it is because the Bible says it, then if what He chose to give us in these 66 books, I think that's pretty important. I think that's pretty important. If everything else that could have been written about Jesus Christ and what He said and what He did, if all of that could not be contained in this world, then these 66 books that God gave us that make up our Bible, that's what He chose to give us, then I'd say it's pretty important. None of it is non-essential. And it's all sound doctrine. There are going to be people that come into your life, your lives. The world, the flesh, and the devil is going to send people your way to try to dull you when it comes to the sound doctrine that you know to be true. And that's why every day, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. That's why every day we have to go to the Word of God and get sharpened. Every day, every day, every day, every day. You need to go and get sharpened to be a good husband, to be a good dad, to be a good Christian. I need to get sharpened every day. Sharpened in our soundness. I'm going to pray. It's almost 8 o'clock. We'll be dismissed. But please do stay and pray a little bit. I'm going to go dismiss the Master Club kids. And we're going to come back probably about 8:10. And we have a business meeting, okay? So if you can stay, please do stay, okay? Father, thank you for the time you've given us tonight. Thank you for your word. Father, help us to be in it more. Help us to be sharpened by it daily. And Father, that's what we need. It educates us. It edifies us. It establishes us. It exposes sin, even in our own lives. When we get into sin, Father, it exposes that. Helps us to get right again. And Father, it helps to evangelize. And Father, I pray that we've been reminded of that tonight. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.